Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 92 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. As the title of today's class indicates, we are beginning review of Part 6, which means Test 6. The final test of the academic year is coming up this week. So, let me tell you what the schedule of activities is going to be. Pretty much standard with one small variation, I guess. It's a test week, so we have a review class today. That's pretty standard. Let me share my screen with you, though, and show you a couple of things that might be a little bit different. The review class today will cover material from week 31, 32, or 30, 31, 32, 33. And also, including the class notes that are now available on the class webpage. So if you go to the class webpage, you will now see lower L and upper L. Okay? But let me just explain what's a little bit different. So what else is normal is that next class, tomorrow, is the final lecture of new material. So we will look at the actual War on Terror and what's happening there. And this is most recent American history. And that will be the last new material that's on the test. There will also be week 34 class notes made available with tomorrow's class. So that's the one thing that's different. So when the test preparation sheets are on here, you won't necessarily be able to answer every question, because there'll probably be at least one or two questions where you need the week 34 class notes, but those will only be ready tomorrow. Okay, so anyway, I'll remind you of what that means tomorrow. But the test prep sheets will be there today, immediately after class. So they're just waiting for me to update the class webpage. Alright, so, and then of course, how do things work? Like I said, tomorrow is the last lecture of new material. Then History Through Art is Wednesday. And then Thursday is the actual test preparation sheet review. Okay, so as usual, you will have 3 days to do the test preparation. And so what happens next week? I'm guessing this is what Walker wants to ask. What happens next week is that we have Memorial Day, a nice break to get ourselves in the mood for summer. Then we have a review of the year lasting 2 classes plus the final History Through Art class of the year, and we are done. So, did that answer your question, Walker, or was it something else? Go ahead. Okay, well, your hand is up, so you gave me the impression that you did. Was it a comment then? No, the hand went down. Okay, fine. So, like I said, class notes are there. The test prep sheets will be up after class, and you can launch into that exercise right away. So what is on the test? Well, as I said, the class notes are for week 30 going forward. Week 30 and 31 is together, as it turns out, right? Because there was just kind of one day of classes there. So this is where what it's about. It's about modern America and what has been kind of the most important story of modern American history, which is how the world became America-centric, right? And what that means. The world became America-centric because the United States decided to become an international police power, and it has been involved in fighting many wars around the world, and this has led ultimately to the chapter in history that we are in now, which is known as the War on Terror. All right, so let's review how that happened. Just make sure that the crucial pieces are all in place for everybody, and you guys are ready to do your test prep sheets. So, we begin with the fact that, well, we start to see a change in America from one way of doing things that was the original way of the Founding Fathers to a new way. So, the original way of the Founding Fathers, we could describe that as being the Monroe Doctrine. You know what's coming. The dreaded question. What is a doctrine? What is a doctrine? I like it when I see a few hands going up to a question that's been challenging people all this time. All right, Sigourney, I choose you.
A set of recommendations.
Okay, by whom, for what? I mean, yes, you could have the Powell Doctrine of History Studies, and that would be know what you know and know what you don't know and study. That would be the Powell Doctrine of History Studies. But we need a set of recommendations for something in particular, Patrick.
A set of recommendations for the government.
Okay. Put forward by whom? James Monroe was one of them. Harry Truman was another one. What job did these people have? What was their job? Drawing a blank on that? Okay, Rosetta?
They were president.
President, right? The leader of the American government, right? So we see doctrines, recommendations for the American government being made by the leaders, right? Even we could almost say that George Washington had a doctrine as well. It was pretty much the same as the Monroe Doctrine, right? He said that America should not get entangled in the affairs of other countries. That's pretty much the same as the Monroe Doctrine. So that became the famous version of it. Okay, right. So a set of recommendations for the government made by the president. So type of actions that the government should take, right? And so the original version of it was, well, America is a very special country of individual rights, and therefore Europeans should keep out. The Monroe Doctrine was a big sign that said keep out to the Europeans. And then it also said, well, you know, in return, by the way, we're not going to meddle in your affairs because that has nothing to do with Americans' rights either. Right? So that was the beginning of America's doctrine. That was America's founding doctrine. And then it changed. All right. So how did it change is our story. Have you put your hand down unless you have a new question or comment. So how did it change? Well, the story begins with the Spanish-American War. And we have in our notes the story of how the United States became involved there. There ended up being kind of three reasons. One, the United States was upset with how brutal the Spanish Empire was. Another reason was, well, some people said, well, the Monroe Doctrine actually applies here. I think they were wrong, but, you know, people said that that was kind of an important idea. And then an American ship was destroyed. So there were a few different things that kind of happened all in a row, and America declared war on Spain. The whole point of the Spanish-American War was to make Cuba independent. What was the unexpected result of that? Or we could say a strange result. If the war was all about Cuba, how did, you know, and that was just up. Cuba's just 50 miles away from America. I mean, how could America become an international police power if it was just trying to take care of what was going on in Cuba? Right? How did it lead to a bigger role in the world that perhaps people didn't understand it would have at first? Nemo?
If Spain is everywhere, the U.S. has to fight everywhere around the world. And that means it has to become an international police power.
Okay, right. Well, I disagree with your statement just a little bit there, Nemo, but because you went a little bit far. You kind of made it the kind of statement that Theodore Roosevelt would make. I think it was not on purpose. So, Spain had an empire around the world, therefore, America had to fight Spain around the world. But that's not the same thing as, therefore, America had to become an international police power. So you gotta watch out about that, right? Some people would say that. But a different way of looking at it would just be America had to fight Spain all around the world. And then at the end of it, it could say, that's the end. We're not interested in policing the world. Our main job was to make Cuba independent, so good luck to the Filipinos. We got rid of Spain for them, and it's up to them to do the rest. So you see, it's not necessarily that America had to become an international police power. But one of the soldiers in this war, who then went to become president of the United States, was the one to make that argument. Or to say that, yes, it does mean that America should go out into the world and police it. So as far as how did America come to be the country that it is today, one of the characters that's very much responsible for everything that's happening around us is Theodore Roosevelt. He was the president that first said to Americans, we should become an international police power. The highlighting is hard to do here. Sorry, I think I'm going to stop the highlighting because it's just too hard to control it. And so he was the first president to say that. And it had to do with Panama, and it had to do with the fact that the United States had an argument with Colombia, and Colombia was not going to build a canal there. So when part of Colombia became independent, the United States supported that. It was important for being an international police power. All right, so we start to have a transition, and yet, look, I'm going to risk highlighting. Look what when we get to World War I, the United States did not get involved in World War I for 3 whole years. Why not? For 3 whole years of what ended up being barely 4 or 5 years of war, most of it the United States was not involved. Rosetta?
Because the Monroe Doctrine said not to.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because the Monroe Doctrine said not to, and Americans weren't ready to give that up yet. Right? The benefits of it were obvious, and the dangers were also obvious, and it was nice not to go over to another part of the world and die there in other people's wars. Sounds like a pretty simple truth, right? Right? So, as Woodrow Wilson said, which is quite strange, Woodrow Wilson said, this war has nothing to do with us. And, you know, he was right. But what is strange then? If Woodrow Wilson said, this war has nothing to do with us, and we're not going to go in, and in fact, he was elected president, and then he was re-elected president. And do you know how he was re-elected president? I don't remember if I told you this story, but it's just an interesting story. He was re-elected president by bragging to America, I kept us out of the war. That was his whole slogan. That's how he was famous. I kept us out of the war. And Americans were like, hooray, hooray. Okay, you can be the president again. And then what? Then what happened strangely, Abby?
They entered the war.
Look at the bottom here. America enters World War I. Okay, so wait a minute. If this war has nothing to do with us, what are we doing in it, Abby?
Well, all I can think of is we're being a world police power.
That is the answer. That is the answer. There were things that had happened that could make people angry. Ships had been sunk, and there were things that the Germans had done that were upsetting and so on. But no reason for 2 million Americans to go and die over in Europe. But there was another reason that Woodrow Wilson wanted America to be a police power. Nemo?
Well, the Germans fired on the passenger ship.
Mm-hmm, right. That was what I meant by some ships had been destroyed and the Germans had done things that people objected to. Yeah, that was certainly something that upset people. But you don't go to war to have 200,000 people dead because 100 people got hurt, right? It doesn't really make sense for you to do that. And most Americans thought that way. They said, okay, this is a bad thing, but we're not going to have all of our young men go over to Europe and die there because of that. So that was the thing. Woodrow Wilson had another idea, though, something that he believed was terribly important and that was even more important than all these other facts. That was the new mission. That's kind of what Abby said. The new mission was we have to make the world safe for democracy. A strange thing for an American president to say, because when the United States was created, the founding fathers did not make a democracy. And they were very, very adamant about that, that America was not a democracy. It was a republic. And so it's a very strange thing for a president to want to spread something that America is not. But to understand that, you have to go do grown-up history. So a lot of this stuff that is so interesting about American history is the subject of why it's so worthwhile to keep studying history. Because one of the most interesting questions I can think of as a historian, and I know the answer, but one of the most interesting things that I've ever studied is how America went from being a republic to being a democracy. And it was not what you would call a revolution, right? Normally, you have a change of government from one kind to another. You have a revolution. Instead, it was a kind of slow evolution, a slow and gradual change. And gradually, the word republic was replaced by the word democracy. And gradually, Americans lost sight of what America was and turned it into something a little bit different and didn't really notice it was happening. And before you know it, America is a different kind of country. And that's pretty neat when history happens that way as well. Sometimes history is really obvious. You have a huge revolution, it's a war, there's declarations, it's very dramatic. Sometimes history is a lot more sly and careful and hard to figure out. So that's when it's more interesting for historians, because then they have to be detectives and figure out what happened. But it did happen. It did happen. The words are here. The words are different. The ideas are different. America is now going to be a police power. So it's in World War I, except, whoa, wait a minute, that hurts. So what did Americans decide? What did Americans decide? Because going to war is so painful. What's this word here? Big keyword. Patrick, go ahead.
Normalcy.
Which means what?
Neutrality.
Well, it translates into neutrality. But what does normalcy mean by itself?
By being normal.
Right. The normal way of doing things, which, and you are right, was staying neutral. So Americans thought, oh, yeah, this international police power stuff really hurts. And so we don't want to do that anymore. We just don't want to do that anymore. And then they saw that Europe for a while seemed to be peaceful. But then the Germans decided they're going to choose this guy, Adolf Hitler, as their leader. And his hateful message was really upsetting people. And the Americans realized, uh-oh, this is the kind of man who will take Germany, even if it's democratic, and turn it again into an empire that will attack its neighbors. So Americans decided, yeah, we're gonna keep this normal way of doing things. We're gonna stay out. We're going to have the neutrality acts, and we are not going to get involved in World War II. Okay? America did not want to get involved in World War I, but Woodrow Wilson gave America a new plan, a new idea. We could really say a new doctrine, pretty much. Okay, we're going to now make the world safe for democracy. Well, America didn't want to be involved in World War II either, and yet, we all know, America did get involved in World War II. Why? New idea, new belief, or what? Why did America get involved in World War II, Walker?
The attack on Pearl Harbor.
So this was very straightforward. The Japanese Empire decided that America eventually would get involved in the war and decided on a sneak attack. So they attacked the base called Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and at that point there was nothing America could do. America had to enter the war. When you have an attack like that, where a whole fleet of is destroyed, then you have to answer that by going to war, and America did. Okay, now before I keep on scrolling here, let's just see what you guys remember. So America going to war with Germany and Japan meant a huge world war, much bigger than World War I. So you had to pretty much get any ally that you could that was fighting against these terrible enemies. What were some of the good allies America chose? Didn't really have to choose, that were simply on its side. And what was one ally that was, well, a very tricky ally to have? Really only a temporary ally. So, Abby, what were the more positive allies involved?
Well, I think they were British and France.
Yeah, Britain and France and allies of theirs like Canada and Australia and stuff like that would be kind of natural allies of the United States. Okay? But what about this harder question, which is, sometimes in wars, you get involved with allies that you don't really like. So, Wyatt, why do you do that? And who would you choose in this case?
This is Henry.
Okay, Henry.
The more unpositive, the most unpositive ally was Russia.
Okay, and why would America make an ally of Russia? What's that? Here, Henry, help me. I'll give you the beginning of the phrase, then you finish it off for me. The enemy of my enemy
is my temporary ally.
There we go. All right, well done. Right, the enemy of my enemy is my temporary ally. That's a basic rule that countries often use in wars. Patrick, repeat that.
Your enemy's enemy
is
your enemy's ally.
Oh, so you were zoning out. That's why I picked you. I don't want to terribly embarrass you, but listen to the phrase. The enemy of my enemy is my temporary ally. Okay. Gotta watch out there. The enemy of my enemy is my temporary.
Well, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So, let's continue here. So, this ally, which is a difficult one to choose, is communist Russia. All right. So, America gets involved. It wins World War II, but it has a strange temporary ally, which becomes an enemy. Why did Russia become an enemy after their common enemy was gone? Why couldn't they stay friends, so to speak? Walker?
Russia was communist.
Aha, exactly. So, communism is a kind of government that is the opposite of American freedom. It's where the government takes everything that you produce and decides what to do with it. Instead of you getting to decide what to do with it in pursuing your own happiness, which is the basic idea of America, your own right to do that. So we got not an easy temporary ally to have. This communist Russia, also known as the Soviet Union. Right? We have the two names. They changed their name. So you've got to know that that's the same thing. Okay, so, okay, because this is now our enemy, we get something called the Truman Doctrine, which is going to lead to America getting involved in the Middle East. What did the Truman Doctrine say? Truman Doctrine said, this is our new enemy, therefore, we'll go back to normalcy. Now, it could have said that, but it didn't. Abby, therefore?
Therefore, we need to stay.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. Therefore, we need a new normal. Have you ever heard that expression? People sometimes talk about the new normal. That means that, okay, one thing used to be normal, and then, well, there was a new thing, and at first people didn't like it, but then that new thing became normal. And that really is what has happened with America, in a way, is it has become an international police power, and that is the new normal. So that when anything happens in the world today, everybody's automatic question is, what will America do? It's so automatic. Everybody says that because the new normal is not that America will not do anything or not want to do anything. The new normal is, in our world, the normal is America will do something, we just don't know what it is. So the question is what? Yeah, so this is where really, because of the Truman Doctrine, intervening or being an international police power became the new normal. Not just a new idea that was sometimes done, or done because you can't help it, but normal. Right? We are going to stay. We are going to support free peoples wherever. And so that includes, as it turns out, the Middle East. Okay. But that was not the only reason why America got involved there. Yes, stop communism from spreading. That's one of the strong reasons for getting involved in the Middle East. But we know there were two others. And now it's a new normal for the students to know the answer. What were the other reasons that the United States got involved in the Middle East? Rosetta?
One of the reasons America wanted to support Israel.
Okay, reason number two, indeed, which is part of your week 33 class notes. And finally, Rosetta, what else?
They also wanted to secure oil, because oil, they had lots of oil in them. Region.
There you go. And if you want to be an international police power, you got to have lots of boats, lots of ships, right? Warships. You got to have lots of airplanes, warplanes. And, you need fuel for those things. And to get around the world and protect people and police the whole world means you got to have a lot of that fuel. And so the Middle East is an area that has huge amounts of it. All right, so we talked about those reasons recently, why the United States got involved there. And we saw that, well, spreading communism was a reason why America and a lot of the countries of the Middle East could be temporary allies. So not really a reason for there being terrorism. And we also saw that because the United States was helping Israel, other countries that were enemies of Israel decided, okay, there's really nothing we can do about that. Let's have peace with Israel. So in 1979, the very important country in the Middle East, Egypt, decided to have a peace with Israel. So it seemed like, because of the Cold War and the peace with Israel and Egypt, that the United States was succeeding in its job. The United States was being the world police, and it was working. Right? Communism was being stopped. And as we'll see, we'll talk about tomorrow, communism ended. Wow, was it extremely successful in a way, the Cold War, because communism collapsed. So it was extremely successful in that regard. And then We got the peace between Israel and Egypt. That's also a success. Okay. What could possibly go wrong in this story? Well, something went wrong in 1979 as well. And this is where we start to see the spread of modern terrorism. So tomorrow we're going to build from this point onward. We're going to look at what happened in 1979 and what happened onward from here. Because in 1979, there was one example of terrorism being used against America, and it was successful. Now, in a way, this is really, really straightforward. Do people like to do things that never work and that constantly fail? Well, we saw the answer up here. Israel's neighbors had launched wars against Israel over and over and over and failed and failed and failed. So what did they do? They stopped. Right? Because is that what people like to do? Constantly fail? It's not very pleasant, right? But on the other hand, if you can succeed, if you can do something against the greatest superpower in the history of the world, and that country will not stop you from doing it. Wow, now there's something worth looking at if that's the kind of person that you are, right? What's the lesson? Right? In life, most lessons are pretty straightforward. Don't do things that don't work. Do things that work. What works? Uh-oh. So, we're going to have to see how the history of modern terrorism starts here in 1979 and how America has struggled to deal with this, because it's a very difficult topic. So we'll see what we can figure out once and for all here in tomorrow's lecture. And in the meantime, you have your test preparation sheets. And you can get started on all of the material up to this point in the lectures. And you'll be ready for tomorrow's class, the last lecture of entirely new material for the year. Okay, folks. Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.